until the what? End of the world. Now that's endurance. That's being with you. That's why Paul could be looking at Nero's chopping block, about to be beheaded, and still say, I'm not ashamed. He still said, I'm not ashamed. I'm facing this, but I got the Lord on my side. Paul, shipwrecked, snake bitten. I didn't tell you all about him. He shipwrecked 3 times in the sea. But the word. Snake bitten. But the word.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Revelation chapter 3. And I want to commence reading at verse 18. Revelation, for the new readers of the Word of God, is the last book in the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 18. Recorded are these words. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, a bad place to stay in self. A bad place to stay in self. Verses 14 through 17 in our earlier service, we talked about a bad place to be in God. Because if you would read those verses and go through them, you'll find out that Jesus was saying to the believers that your problem is that you have a misdiagnosis of yourself and your situation. He said to them, I found out that your problem is that you are too comfortable.
All right.
You are too complacent.
Yeah.
And three, you're too conceited.
Yeah.
And he said, because you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And that's a bad place to be in, God, to be lukewarm, because he said, if you were hot, I could do something with you. If you were cold, I could do something with you. But being lukewarm, you're agitating, aggravating, and vexating. And so now he moves on, if you will, to verse 18. And so what he says is, let me point one, counsel you. So he deals with consultation now. Why does Jesus want to counsel with the church at Laodicea? Well, first of all, you remember that John was exiled on an isle called Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the Lord Jesus Christ came and revealed to him some great and wonderful truths, so much so that John was afraid, but Jesus told him to fear not, because he wanted to reveal some things to him that he should reveal to the churches of God. Jesus literally gave a state of the address, or the state of the condition of the report of the churches that belonged to him, not from their vantage point, but from his vantage point. Not from their viewpoint, but from his viewpoint. He showed all of the seven churches what he thought, and revealed to them what he thought about them, so that they would know their position with God. You see, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you think you are where you are not. Sometimes you think you are what you are not. And sometimes you think you have what you have not. And Jesus, whenever we go to him, he reveals to us what we really are, where we really are, and what we really have in him. So now what he's saying is, it's a bad place to be in self. And as long as you are in self, you become selfish. And God can't do much with selfish folk. So notice here how he says, I counsel thee. Now, he has a right to counsel them because the church is open and authorized to operate in his name. It is his church. It is his rule, and it is his authority that we must obey and operate in. So notice what he says now. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried where?
In the fire.
Now, you've got to understand, because he's talking about redemptive terms now when he talks about gold being bought through that has gone through the fire. It is refined gold. It is pure gold. It is that has been redeemed in essence. What the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is, you're going to really have to take your focus off of you and put your focus on me. Because the problem is, you don't have the correct vision when you look at you as opposed to looking at me. Listen to one of the reasons why he says this. He says that thou mayest be rich. Now, the reason why he's bringing up the fact that they may be rich is because look at what they said. And I need you to see this in the Word. The Bible says, verse 17, because thou sayest, Jesus is telling them what they have said to him, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now, that was their self-evaluation. That was their own opinion of their present status. But notice what Jesus reveals about them, continuing on in that verse. He says, and knowest not that thou art wretched? One, miserable. Two, poor. Three, blind. Four, and naked. Five. Now here's the problem. Not only are you not rich, he said, but you're poor. Somebody not getting this here. Now the question then becomes, by what measure and or standard have you gauged your richness? Because, you know, I've discovered that what man will do is, when he's down, he'll look, find somebody under him to say, well, at least I ain't as far down as he is. Now, just because you are above somebody else that's down low with you, don't make you up. I wish I had somebody here. And so to understand what richness is, according to God, your richness must be gauged on and measured by the standard that God has set himself. Now notice here again, he says, I counsel thee. Why Jesus? Because he's already been through it. Because he already knows the beginning, the end, and all in between. Because it is he who has overcome the world, and because he's an overcomer, he can tell you how to overcome. Why Jesus? Because what he has done is he has ransomed his life for all mankind. He has bought us with a price, his own precious and uncorrupted blood. And so he has a right to counsel the churches because he is the head of the church. Now listen at this. He says, and white raiment. Now listen now. He says again, that thou mayest be clothed. Now he's saying the problem is you're looking at it from a natural sense and I'm looking at it from a spiritual sense. He's saying the problem is you don't see you like I see you. You look at the most of us and ask, you know, the Lord says you're naked and you look at yourself, you say, man, I'm dressed down. What you mean I'm naked? But what you've got to understand, the robe in righteous, white raiment is robe of righteousness, is clothing of righteousness. It means to be clothed with the righteousness of God. And that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, you got a whole lot of folk who are clean as the board of hell, sharp as a tack, and you get burned if you just touch them. They're that clean on the outside, but they are spiritually naked. And so Jesus is talking about being clothed with righteousness. And so listen again to what he goes on to say. And he says, and anoint thine eyes. Why is this so important? Because this represents, again, the enlightenment of the Holy Ghost. He says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve. For what purpose? That thou mayest see. There are some things you're looking at in the natural. You think you are able to comprehend. You may see with a limited view and a perspective. But what he's saying, if you really want to see far, and if you really want to see through things that seem to be impenetrable, you've got to see through the eyes of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has got to be the one who gives you revelation and information and illustration and enlightenment. And this is what he's talking about. So he's talking about consultation. And the reason why he's doing this is because they need to understand that they cannot go to the place, to the next level in the arena of God's perfect will until they learn how to get out of self. Now that's my problem. I know it may not be your problem, but every now and then I want my will to be done instead of his will. That's my problem. Sometime I want what he don't want me to want. That's my problem. Sometime I want to do what he don't want me to do. That's my problem. Sometime I want to go where he don't want me. I'm not talking about you. I say that's my. Sometime I want to say what he don't want me. Lord, help us today. See, that's my problem. And I could keep on with my problem, but the question is, what's your problem? Because you'll find out at the core of your problem is self. If I can get you to get your eyes off of self, get you to not think about self, get you to focus on the Savior, he's saying, then I could help you out of your situation. Look if you will. Look if you will. Look if you will. Look. He's saying here, I want to counsel you. And the only reason why I want to counsel you is so that I can do the next thing, and that's to correct you. Because the consultation is for the purpose of correcting you. You see, you can't tell me how to be better if you don't tell me how to be better. You can't tell me to do better unless you tell me what I need to do to do better. You can't tell me to be better unless you help me in the area and then the arena that would help me to become better, unless I have some knowledge of what it takes and what is your standard of me becoming better. A whole lot of folk can point out the problem, but not many of them can point out the solution. And can I help you today? Before you tell somebody else what their problem is, would you think it through a little bit longer? And then when you tell them what the problem is, on the other hand, give them the solution to the problem. Because a whole lot of folk want to do better, but they don't know how to do it. And And Jesus is saying, I know you done got caught up. You've been worshiping in a ritual, a ceremonial way for so long till you think the wrong way is right. You can worship. Don't need no Holy Ghost because you're programmed already. You know when to say your amens. You know when to say hallelujah. You know when to clap. It's all programmed. I know you ain't used to doing it like I want you to do it because you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, you've lost your sensitivity. You've lost your ability to be in touch. And I know the Holy Ghost ain't been to service in so long that if he came there, he'd be a stranger. He said, but I want to help you to get from where you are to where I want you to be. You've got to do some things in order for things to be different than the way they are. How can worship be the same when you come in every Sunday and do the same? Come on, help me, somebody. See, somebody said if you want different results, you've got to do different things. Because if you do the same thing you always do, you always get the same thing you've always gotten. So if you want things to change, the first thing that need to change is you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. So listen to what he says now. He's making clear here that the consultation requires a choice. He says, I counsel you, which means you have a choice in the matter.
Yeah.
But you need to understand that inclusive of the choice are consequences.
Uh-huh.
Now, inclusive of the consequences, many times folk are not cognizant of the fact that correction is a part of the consequences. Now listen to what Jesus said. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not whipping you because I hate you. You know, when I was a boy, I didn't really understand when mama used to say, now this gonna hurt me. Oh, Lord. More than this gonna hurt you. And I couldn't figure that out, you know. And then she tell me, now, sit me down, and then, you know, after she just beat me half to death. Still 5 days, 10, you know, still trying to catch my breath. You know, she then get me in her arms and hold me tight and kiss me and say, baby, she said, now I had to do that because I love you. And I said, Lord, I can't wait to have some children. That's a joke. But it wasn't until I understood that she had to correct the ways that I was going in, the ways that were unlike the ways of righteousness that would lead to a path of destruction. And sometimes you got to understand when parents love you, they have to correct you, and correcting you means sometimes chastising, as we call it. It means whipping you. It means punishing you. It means bringing you to that point with some corrective action that would help you understand this is not the way it is to be done, and this way will not be tolerated nor accepted. Listen to what he said. Because I love you. In essence, what he was saying is, I love you too much to let you have your own way. Because how many of you know that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now listen at this now, because he's talking about correction. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now look at what he says. Be zealous therefore and repent. Repent. Now look, because I need you to see this again. Let's walk back through this. As many as I love. Now, how many of you in here say the Lord loves you? Let me see a show of your hand. So that means every one of you in here who has lifted up your hand have declared that the Lord loves you. Now, because he loves you and you belong to him, he has a right without your permission to spank you when you get out of order. Somebody don't. I'm a grown man. What you mean he got a right to spank me? All right, you grown man. I'm here to tell you he's got enough power to take a crooked lick and hit a straight stick with it. He got enough power in his own hand to do what you don't think. He can make a grown man drop to his knees and cry like a baby all night long. Don't come here about you, no grown man. You still a child of God. No matter how old you get, no matter who you think you are, what God is able to do, he can do it because you belong to him. And he loves you enough. Listen, like Jonah, he'll let you make some bad decisions, go your own way, but he will not let you end up where you want to be. It'll still be right where he wants you. But with it has come a whole lot of drama and trauma because you wouldn't do it the way he said do it. Now look at this, look at this. As many as I love, I rebuke. Now, what does that mean, he rebuked? Well, God says, I object. He says, it ain't going to be like that. He says, stop. He says, wait a minute. He said, uh-uh. He said, no. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. I made a choice. Well, you can make some choices, but you still don't control your consequences. So what you've got to understand is what he's telling us is that if he rebukes you, that means he canceled out what you've just done. Yeah. He has the thought. Ever had some child in your house and they just decide they were going to leave? Yeah. And they get to the door, where you going? Well, I was going to the party. To the what? To the party. And how you think you were going? In your car? Uh-huh. Well, let me tell you how I feel about that. You can put the keys down, take your clothes off or leave them on, but you ain't dotting that door. Now, what did the parent just do? Just cancel out the decision that the child made? Because you're still underneath mama or daddy's roof? Because mama or daddy still has the right to say what happens in his or her household? Because the authority is still theirs? God has not vacated his position, his power, nor his throne, nor has he given parents the permission to let children grow, rear, and make themselves. And so he said, as many as I love, in a parental sense, I have the ability to straighten you out when you make the wrong decisions. Now listen at this. Now he used the word chasten because it's an important word to understand. It doesn't just simply mean correction by instruction, but it means correction with action, which means literally that God, well, he said in the Old Testament that if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. And a whole lot of parents are witnesses to children who are spoiled and children who are not spoiled. And 9 out of 10 times, the children who are not spoiled has been spanked. And the children who are spoiled ain't been spanked. Talking about, my mom ain't never with me, my daddy ain't never with me, we can tell. That's why the police and somebody else always jumping on you, because those who should have spanked you didn't spank you. Now they got to show enough knock you down. Now listen at this. That's because they never understood, nor did they respect authority growing up. And listen at me, parents, and may I say to you right now that if you don't want the police, the authority, and other folk putting their hands on your children, teach your children how to act while they're in your house. And when you rear them the right way, they're going to obey the law and obey authority, and no one has a right to put their hands on them when they're doing what they're supposed to do. Y'all getting quiet on me here. That's what make folk think they can act any kind of way, even when they grow up, they're just grown-up children. Spoiled and want to have that way, think they can do that way. That's why they can't keep a good job or get promoted on a job, though they may be able to. They can't control their tongue, their actions. They can't control their attitude and their ambitions. They don't understand. Everybody ain't got to take that disrespectful attitude. Everybody ain't got to take how nasty they treat you. Everybody ain't got to bow down and kiss the ground. See, but somebody gonna meet you one day and meet you right where you are and show you, I'm gonna do you what daddy and mama should have done you a long time ago. Preach, pastor. Look at this. He says, now I rebuke and chasten. Now look at what he says after he does that, because rebuking is tied with chastening, which means he's going to tell you why he's about to whip you. And then he's going to whip you and probably tell you why he's doing it. Listen, I say he's going to tell you why he's whipping you, and then he's going to whip you and tell you while he's whipping you. You know, didn't I tell you not to do that? Then he get a bye, 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 bye. Then while he with me, just, I told you not to. Then he get in a rhythm. You shouldn't have did that. See, some of y'all don't have them days, don't know about them days. Oh, Lord, let me hurry up. We got to get out of here. Listen again. So those two are tied together. But look at what he says. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now and then, take on the right spirit, understanding that the correction came because of bad choices, because of mistakes, and because of things we did that were contrary to the word, the will, and the way of God. And so he says, listen, don't sob and act like I'm doing this because I don't love you. It's because I do love you. You need to catch hold of my spirit, line up, and have some interest in doing the right thing. And the first thing he says is you need to repent. When you catch a hold, when you're zealous of my spirit, when you understand the correction, and when you have understood my position on the matter, then you are to repent. Don't stay in the same backslidden way. When God straightens you out, that's because he wants you to go the right way and do that quickly. Don't stay there and sob and mob and gloat in what you're in. Get up, get out of it now. And when you do that, you will then begin to understand that God does not want you to stay in that bad place called self. Because self is a destructive matter that will destroy each and every one of us if we let it. Your biggest enemy is not the person on the outside of you. But 9 out of 10 times, it's the person on the inside of you. It's you. It's you. And when you learn how to release self and turn it over to the Savior and know that what he has for you is better than you could ever imagine or think or ask for yourself, then you'll realize that to be in him is to be in position to receive the best that he has to offer. Give the Lord a hand of praise.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do 3 things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.